Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. We're back from our 1 week hiatus. I am Dano, and with me, as always, except for last week, is Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Still a little sick, so you'll have to bear with right me. Sometimes I may cough and I'll try and mute when I feel the need, but yes, we're back. Can't keep us down for too long.
Yeah. By the way, Paddo, Optus Stadium, pretty cool stadium. Couldn't find Harley Reid while I was over in Perth, but, you know, apparently when he plays away from Perth, he doesn't show up either. Anyway, we'll actually go into the round 10 group winner and then the round 11 group winner because we missed round 10. So, anyway, the round 10 group winner, Paddo, was Nathan and his team, Sally Superstars, with a big 2,502. Who did he have for that one?
So I had Gorn as captain. I can't remember what he got, and I'm not a Gorn owner, so I can't look. But had Heaney, Flanders, Jackson, Reed up forward. Jackson had a big score because Darcy didn't play. Had Rowan Marshall, who had a big score as well. Clayton Oliver, Butters, Luke Ryan, of course, and Sexton, who had a nice score. So, well done, Nathan and his team, Sully Superstars, for another group winner. I believe he's already had one this year. So good job, Nathan.
Yep. And then we got the round 11 group winner, the most recent one, which is Josh's team of Rough Pies with a score of 2,436. Who did he have as well?
So 2,436 is actually a really good score this week. We won't talk about what I scored, but it's about 400 less than that. But anyway, had the vice captaincy on big Luke Ryan, which was huge. I know a lot of people were big on Sarong, but that was not good against Collingwood, and I tweeted my thoughts about that for those that follow me on Twitter. But had Disco Dacos on the bench for a 130. I don't know why I loopholed that, but anyway. Wanganui Malera is a bit of a POD in defence, who is proving to be pretty nice. Sheezel, who's coming good, finally learning their midfield role. Jordan Dawson has a nice POD in the midfield for 158. Got Sam Walsh, Bontempelli, Zach Butters. Did have Flanders, of course, like everyone. That was a frustrating late out because it just caught everyone off guard. But luckily, Joshua had Sullivan to sub in. So that was nice for him. Loopholed Sam Darcy, which I'm wishing I did. I was sick and brain fog and I didn't loophole him and I regret it. But anyway, just the one ton up forward for Joshua, and that was Joe Richards. And I don't like saying that name because he's out for a month. Anyway.
Yeah, so I just want to say something because people, like listeners, if we had done the episode last week, you would have heard me say I was tossing up between Lekalier and Joe Richards. I was doing that in my chats because I was like, Jack Buckley's out for like 5-odd weeks. Lekalier, seeing him play with Sam Taylor, it might actually be good. And I went with the herd with the Joe Richards thing. They both scored a ton. But then as we lead into our injuries and suspensions, the first one there is Joe Richards with his...
Just quickly before we go on to that, Dano, Buckley's listed as 1 to 2 weeks in the official injury report.
Oh, he was like 5 weeks the other day. So
yeah, no, 1 to 2. So they've obviously done some testing there.
Yeah, anyway, linking on to Joe Richards and his... It was like a metacarpal? No, that's hand. Metatarsal?
Tarsal, yeah.
Yeah, metatarsal fracture, 5 to 6 weeks out. Paddo, that hurts. Do you hold?
It hurts a lot just because it's the buys.
Yeah.
And we were really relying on his sort of 70 to 80 scores probably on average. It sucks because he's also got a break even of negative 36. So he's only 212K, only gone up the 90,000. I don't think you can trade him out. So you kind of got to hold him. He's not even a guarantee to keep his spot either after his injury, which is frustrating. But, it could turn into a dead rookie, which is very, very frustrating. But with that break even, I don't think you can trade him out.
Well, this one's not an injury or suspension, but an omission, because I know it's going to affect a lot of coaches. And that's Jordan Sweet, Paddo, this week. He's out and Soldo comes back.
Yep. And another one that hurts.
Yeah, if you got both Richards and Sweet, I think we need to talk about that a little bit later. Moving on, we got Isaac Rankin, hamstring 2 to 3 weeks. That sucks for those that just traded him in. He did that hammy when he ran too far, like the 24 metres.
Only he stopped and bounced it.
Oh, shit.
It just also sucks because people brought him in saying that he had, what was it, West Coast, Hawthorn, Richmond 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Which is just like as good of a matchup as you can pretty much get for a forward. And yeah, misses those 3 weeks, then like whether he plays against Sydney or not, that's not a good matchup. And then has the Giants and then the Lions and then St Kilda, who are a pretty defensive team. So
yeah,
very frustrating. I feel like we'll still all be looking at Isaac Rankin after that little run. But yeah, very frustrating and just unlucky if you did bring him in.
Now, we've got Lloyd Meek here, Paddo, and he's got the ankle listed as doubtful by you. What do you mean by doubtful?
So he's in doubt to play is what that means.
So is he going to play or not? Probably not.
So they've said he's unlikely, but they're giving him every opportunity to play. That was a quote from one of the Hawthorn assistants.
Piss poor. Just be more direct. Like Connor Rosie and his ankle, they're listed now 2 weeks, Paddo?
Well, no, it's a 1 week at the moment, but they've got the bye next week, so he's going to miss 2 weeks.
Yep, easy. Jai Clark's suspension, 1 week, that's piss poor. Shouldn't have got a week for that, but if you're a Jai Clark owner, you'd be pissed.
Didn't see it, but I think he got 80-odd, which was finally a bit of scoring, and then he has Richmond this week. So,
well, no, he doesn't.
Yeah. He doesn't?
He's suspended for a week.
No, Geelong have Richmond. So owners will be frustrated because they would have seen that as a nice matchup because he could have come up against a Thompson Dow or a Kane McAuliffe and probably would have scored all right. But
yeah, we will never know if he would have. Mason Cox, knee 6 weeks. Fuck yeah. Fuck off, Maso.
So yeah. the only reason why this is Supercoach relevant is I think there's a sneaky POD that people might be sleeping on that he's available in the ruck line for 507,000, but we might talk about that when we get to the ruck, Steno.
Yeah, yeah. Darcy Parrish calf 3 to 4 weeks. That also hurts many that brought him in when he finally started firing, Paddo.
Mate, that was me.
It was also our avid listener, Tate, as well. So,
yep, hurts a lot, hurts a lot. And I'm doing it to myself again. I think at this stage I'm bringing in another one that's battling a calf.
Fair.
And then we got a sucker for punishment.
Then we got Shea Bolton, concussion protocols 1 week. Paddo.
Yep, another one that I own. Toyed with trading him out, but I can't because he's only going to miss a week and I am running out of trades. So, yep, would have been a nice matchup against Geelong, I think. But anyway, he gives me cover for the other two buys before his round 15 buy, so I've got to hold him.
Do you remember when in an earlier podcast this season I said we've had the luckiest run so far and we've got to expect the carnage at some stage?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's finally happened.
Yeah.
It's all happening. And it seems to be more rookies than anything.
But there's a real rookie crisis, which we're about to go into. Yeah, it's really bad. Like, I rookie trade-ins and I'm trying to scrape the barrel. And there's not even any rookie price players. We're looking at people that have already had a price rise or two, which is pretty fucked.
Yeah. So we'll go into rookie trade-ins now. Now, I don't know how to fucking pronounce this name. So if I butcher it, I'm so... It's what was it?
Frazier.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was going to say Frazier.
Frazier. E-I okay. Makes an I.
Wouldn't that be Frazier?
Phonetics with Page with Paddo.
Wouldn't that be Frazier then?
E-I no, that would be I. That would be IE.
So what does EI make? A?
A.
Okay, cool. Joel Frazier at 178K mid slash forward, minus 36 break even, 68 averaged. He's played 4 games, but again, doesn't he play for the Western Bulldogs, Paddo?
I know. I didn't bring him in last week. I brought in Richards instead. So, and it hurts because he went up 61K. It's only going to be a 3-week play.
Hmm.
And I think if we can get 100K in that 3 weeks, it's a win. And it feels filthy to say that.
Yeah.
But that's the best option.
I'm not the... Yeah. I just don't like it.
No, it's disgusting.
We'll discuss some more. So the next one we got is Kane McAuliffe, 198K mid, minus 22 break-even, 53 average. He scored 75 in a full game finally. Now, Jacob Hopper's return has been delayed, so that's good for Kane. But at the same time, he has been dropped even when Hopper hasn't been in the team, Pato.
Yep. And Taranto is 1-2 away as well, which hurts the midfield minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I think this week will be good for McAuliffe because Shay Bolton is out and there's no Hopper, no Taranto. Presti is playing, but McAuliffe will be in that midfield group. Is he going to score enough against Geelong to kickstart some scoring? I don't know. He's already gone up 80K in the last 2 weeks, so it sucks. Really sucks.
Yeah. While we're actually recording this, by the way, everyone, the mid-season draft is about to occur. So hopefully there's some gems that come out of that because there's certainly not many here. So the next one is Harvey Harrison, 213K forward, minus 14 break-even, 55 average. He got an 84 and a 99, not a 95, in his two full games. He did get the – was he concussed the other week? I can't remember, Pato. Or something.
So he scored a really low score. Couldn't tell you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he got subbed out like really early with like concussion or something like that. After he got that, I think it was the 99 or the 84, one or the other. Anyway, again, I wouldn't be paying 213K for him.
So this is actually someone who I think could make the most amount of money in the 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a huge sub risk because he's already been the sub three times.
Yeah.
As we said, in his two full games, he scored 83 and 99, which was obviously really good. If he can mimic that, he could get to 100 to 150,000 in the next 3 weeks before his bye. It's a lot to pay. And if it means you can't quite get to a Luke Ryan and you're trading in a fucking Jordan Ridley as an alternative, I'm not sure it's a great option, but. Yeah, this is how dire it is this week.
Yeah. I'll just quickly, before we go on to the next bit, I just looked at my team and now I hate my team now that Jordan Sweet's not playing.
Yeah, it's not good, is it? And it sucks because he plays the first game. We're going to make a decision.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to quickly do something here. So we've got some, the one gamers and the buy players. I'm not sure if you included this guy, Hado, so I'm going to bring him up. No, you haven't. I'm going to bring him up first, but I don't know if he got injured or anything. That's Nate Caddy from Essendon. So he's 167K forward. He only got the 51. I think he did get subbed out or subbed in, one or the other. But he's not on the run sheet, and I just thought I'd bring him up then because he is a good old-fashioned high draft pick. So what are your thoughts on Nate Caddy?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
He played Richmond. He's not going to do that every week.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I just thought I'd bring him up. If he hits his straps this week, sweet. So then we've got Will Dawson, 117K defender forward, minus 46 break-even, 57 average. It's just that defensive forward swing that's kind of good. Gets you a warm body, but I think that's all he'll be, Pato.
Well, the problem is... is he even guaranteed to play next week? And that's why I don't think people can bring him in this week. Callan Dawson, who is a better player than Will Dawson, unsure if they're related, by the way, returned to the VFL last week. So if you think that, it's either going to be Combin or Dawson that makes way for Dawson and it won't be Combin because he's actually looked okay. So,
yeah,
I feel like this will turn into a dead rookie, and that's why I'm begging people not to do this. I know it looks great. He's got a break even of negative 46, and that is fantastic. Wait for him to be traded. Wait for him to be named first. There's also, as you mentioned, the mid-season draft happening pretty much as we speak. They could take a key defender in that. Tom Highmore is available, who's a great intercept defender. I don't know how he didn't get an opportunity at St Kilda. It screams North Melbourne all over. They're looking for an intercept defender. So,
yeah. Lekalier, 190K defender, minus 54, break even, 73 average. Has the bye, obviously. This is an interesting one, and it's when I was saying, like, your Darcy Jones, when he was going to stay in and he was going to push Harvey Thomas out. Now, Lekalier is not going to push Jack Buckley out. I think what Lekalier is going to do is push Harry Himmelberg up the field.
Oh, he's going to love that.
I think we might see Lekalier play alongside Jack Buckley and Sam Taylor once Buckley's back. I reckon we're going to get the three-towered defense, and then that, Himmelberg.
That's actually an even better role for Lekalier.
Oh, yeah. And I reckon Himmelberg will go to the wing. So people worried about Buckley coming back, I actually think that's what's going to happen. And then Himmelberg will turn into like a freaking Nick Riewoldt type role on the wing.
But we need to wait a week.
Well, yeah, he's not playing this week. So, but he's, it's.
But people are trading him in.
I'd wait.
So would I.
See if he's named alongside, because Buckley might even be back next week. He's 1 to 2 weeks. I just double checked, like you said, because I was like, oh, Jesus, that's a quick turnaround, Paddo.
Yep.
But
of course, that can change. Things do change.
Imagine if Buckley is back next week and they name all three of them in defense, because he fucking won that game for the Giants.
Get your aubergines out, because that would be great for Lekalier.
Oh, yeah. It would be. It would be that he could play a freaking Sicily type role.
Oh, Dano, stop it.
I know. And then the next one, we got Toby McMullen, and I'm not about this one, Paddo. So he's 123K forward, minus 25, 49 average, and the minus 25 break even. I think he's going to be he's that fringe bloke that comes in and out. And once we get more players in at the Giants, he's going to be pushed out.
Yeah, I mean, he's played, what, two games, and were they both a sub, Dano?
Yeah, they should be.
So
should
have been. Round zero against Collingwood and then round 11 against Geelong. So,
yeah.
Yeah, not sure I love this at all. Although, is he a Darcy Jones replacement?
No, because they're currently looking at Phoenix Gothard.
Canelio out, Kelly's a couple of weeks away. Like, I don't know. You're the Giants man, so I'm not going to speculate.
Yeah, no, they're looking more towards Phoenix Gothard, their first pick last year in last year's draft. So they traded up for him or traded to him, whatever they did. Anyway, Paddo's made a point saying mid-season draftees don't go early.
Yeah, don't. Last year, I foolishly went early on Harry Arnold. Sydney had that key defender crisis with both the McCartan boys and all that, and he never ended up playing a game. And I was so confident that he would play a game. I brought him in at 102K. And he sat on my bench rotting.
And I also had the Sydney forward that was drafted from WA.
Jack Buller?
Yeah, Buller. I brought him in early and he played, I think, one or two games.
One game, and I think he got a 10 or something.
Yeah, it was 17. Fucking bad.
17.
He was not ready. Trades on that mofo.
Yeah. So that's why, even if it's someone like Bryn Teagle could get drafted, Dano, which is great. Tom Highmore, like there's guys that we know and have scored well in the past, but you got to wait because you don't even know if they're going to get games.
The one that I would kind of be interested in is if Riley Collier-Dawkins gets picked up by North Melbourne.
Really? Another one of those types?
Yeah. And then Hugh Greenwood is forever forgotten.
He was their backup ruck for a couple of weeks.
Oh, shit. Or that young kid that's having a really good TAC. Oh, it's not called TAC anymore. What the fuck's it called? National, whatever the fuck it's called. That's probably going to be picked up by West Coast. Oh, I know. He'll be picked up by North Melbourne. Fuck. I've forgotten his name. Anyway.
Is it the Blight kid?
He's skinny as shit. But he's a midfielder. He went from half-back to mids.
Yeah, I will say.
Yeah. Anyway, it's always midfielders with them. Okay, so we're going to talk about primo trade-ins. So Paddo wanted to put a note down saying, worth noting that you should probably avoid trading in primos this week because whoever you bring in will then miss a game. So that is completely and utterly true, Paddo. But it, thinking about it, if it fixes your buy structure, if you can afford to bring someone in this week, knowing that you're covering their buy really well, I'm all for it, Paddo.
Yeah, it's all team dependent, as always. I've toyed with bringing Max Gawn in because my round 14 isn't looking too bad because I've known it's been a bad buy round. I can actually afford to bring in a round 14. But I'm also toying with bringing in Jordan Ridley and betting against Max Gawn, which is dangerous. But I'm not sure I can afford to sideways another primo, so I think I'm stuck with English and Grundy. But at least I'm not one of those fools that had Jordan Sweet as my R2.
Yeah, that's true. Well, this week I've got him as my R2, but now...
Oh, he's gone from me now.
Yeah, I'm going to... You know what? Before talking about the primos, actually, Paddo, if you got Sweet and Richards, what do you do?
So it's a tough one. It probably depends on how many you've got playing. If you can get 19 still playing this week and you've only got two or three primos out, which I feel like is the case for most people, you know, with Heaney, Zorko, Grundy, I've got Sheasel as well. So I've got four primos out this week. See, the thing is, Soldo's actually had a history of injury his whole career. He's always missed games due to something. Sweet could come back, but that's 3 weeks away because Port Adelaide have a bye next week.
Yeah.
So I would probably say Sweet can go. Joe Richards hasn't made enough money. At least Jordan Sweet, you can make a bit more money.
Before you die. just want to say, usually we want to see if a player can make 150K, correct, Paddo? Want to at least 150K. Jordan Sweet has already made that. So I am okay with sacrificing that mofo.
So, but Jordan Sweet is 300K.
Yeah, correct.
So, like, even though his break even is still low, I think he's much more of a justifiable trade out than Richards, only because you could potentially make 200K out of Sweet if you go down to a bottom price rookie.
Yep.
Even if it's a non playing, like a Livingston type, that'll give you a loophole. I probably wouldn't advise that.
I'm literally looking at putting Livingston from my forward line back.
Livingston's back into the my ruck line now. It also lets me move Luke Jackson around as well, which will help just with team flexibility. So, yeah, I think if you can turn Sweet into a playing rookie, someone that's already had a price rise. So, for example, I'm turning Sweet into Frazier. Yeah.
That feels dirty.
And Darcy into Jordan Ridley as two trades. Darcy, I think, has to go. His break-even's too high. Jack McRae instead.
There's one that we actually haven't touched on that's starting to build. He's got a buy this week. That's Bruce Revel.
The Brevinator.
Yeah, so he's actually at 206K, and he's got the buy. And he's still
got... He's already gone up 100K. Break-even.
Yeah, because he was bottom price. But he's still ticking away all right, and he's got a break-even of negative 17.
But he won't play Richmond or Hawthorn again.
It's just someone to consider, I guess.
Yeah, but that can be next week.
His tank. He seems to be getting more time on ground, I think. I could be wrong there, though.
They're also going to make four selections, apparently, tonight.
Yeah, true, true. They got a lot.
Anyway, so that could change his situation.
Yeah. We'll know a bit more anyway. So
people need to check their buy structures. You know, you can maybe bring in round 15 by people because you get 3 weeks out of them first, and then you can continue to target primos coming off their buy. So next week you can start looking at Tom Green, who's going to be a great price dano, Zach Fisher, even though Zorko, even though his price will come down even more.
Already in my team.
Yeah. Lockie Neal, Jordan Dunkley, those sort of guys. So, yeah.
Yep. We'll go on to – so we'll talk about these best, like, six or whatever primos. We're going to break them down into tiers. So these are the ones to, like, to look for over the buyers essentially. So in defense, our top tier, we've got Dacos and Ryan as the two must-haves. Undisputed there, Paddo? Undisputed?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think there's actually one guy that could join that group.
That Houston?
No.
Ooh. Oh, you're thinking Ridley off of one fucking game.
Ridley.
Off of one fucking game.
In this role, Dano, as a third tall, Jordan Ridley is...
He's horny.
Luke Ryan-like.
We like the sound of that, actually. Is he taking all the kick-ins? I didn't actually pay attention.
He is taking a lot of kick-ins. Well, in the one game sample size, I will fact-check.
Not taking the old kick-ins or anything.
I don't think Nick Martin took any on the weekend. But I'm just going to fact-check myself. So on the weekend, Jordan Ridley had 3 kick-outs.
Yeah.
Nick Martin had 2. Heppel had 2. Redman had 2. McGrath had 5.
Oh, okay. So still McGrath.
Well, I mean, the kicking numbers are all over the place with Essendon. I feel like they don't have a set kick-out guy.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Okay, I didn't realize this. Jordan Ridley, 31 disposals, 24 kicks, 7 handballs, 12 marks, 1 tackle. But he also kicked a goal?
Well, Dano, he played Richmond, so
yeah,
true. That's not going to happen every week. But I can see him doing 120, 130 in this role.
Yeah, fuck. Well, we have seen him be pretty slutty before, so.
We have, when they've played 2 key defenders with him. And as long as Laverde and Mackay are in this team, and they've also got Reed that could come in as well, potentially for Nick Cox, although that's not really like for like, I think it's great. As long as Ridley doesn't have to play lockdown. He played on Noah Cumberland on the weekend and just intercepted and played loose. And, yeah, 12 marks, 31 touches, doing a Luke Ryan.
Yeah, okay. Well, the good thing is his price won't increase.
No, so you can have another look at him.
Yeah.
But he has a great matchup this week.
Who is it?
Gold Coast.
Ooh. But actually, that's a good point. There is something that I needed to say because I completely forgot. Essendon have a virus going through their camp, so we may see a lot of outs this week.
Yes. One to keep in mind.
Yeah. And there could be a lot of late outs.
They are quarantining people.
Yeah.
It sucks because it's the last game of the round, so it could potentially absolutely fuck people.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ridley's currently in the next tier in our list, but Paddo reckons he could push the top tier. I'm thinking Houston pushes the top tier. Actually, fucking hell. McGovern has... How many times has Jeremy McGovern dropped below 100 this season?
Not many, even in the game that he was subbed out at halftime.
Yeah, I know. He was already cracked a ton then. I was like, fuck. Let's have a look. McGovern. So let's see how many times.
And don't even look at who he's playing this week, Dano, because it's disgusting.
He's dropped below 100 twice. He's gone 109, 144, 120, 113. And he dropped it against Richmond for 72. Then Freo 100, then Gold Coast 89, and then he's gone back to 101, 114, 117, 114.
So on your filters, Dano, just tick West Coast and have a look at 3-round and 5-round average and just have a look at who's doing well in that West Coast defense.
Don't. I already know it's
And I'm not Barass. Saying any more.
I already know it's going to be Barass. Is it? Anyway, dude. Fuck, this is going to be funny. West Coast. McGovern, Barass, 102.
How filthy is that?
That's beautiful.
Oh, and play St Kilda this week.
Yeah, McGovern is honestly in the top tier right now.
I still can't get excited about it because of the injury issues.
He hasn't missed a game.
I know.
He even got injured in a game and still played the next week and still cracked 100 in that game where he got subbed.
Yeah, I can't. There's a reason he's in 6% of teams.
That's probably the top 1% of the comp. Probably has him too.
And then we're going to get fucked when he pings a hammy in the first quarter.
Yeah. So he might not. He might have that one great season. Anyway, so that was the second tier. Houston, Sheasel, McGovern, Ridley. Then the next group. So Paddo is saying the must-haves, Dacos and Ryan, you need them. Need 3 of Houston, Sheasel, McGovern, Ridley.
Unless you can get 4.
So you've really dropped off Nick Martin.
Well, I don't think his role is as good with Ridley in the team. And he had 97 on the weekend against Richmond.
Yeah, okay. And then the next group we have for defenders all to have either one or two of these guys. And he's got Nick Martin, Clark from Frio, Nasir Langlandine, Malira, Nick Blakey, Maxi Holmes is starting to kick off, Jack Sinclair, Lockie Whitfield, Hayden Young, Sicily or Dale.
Yeah, so I think you should be trying to get only one or two of that group, depending on what price you can get them. If you can get all six of the top two tiers, then great. You've probably got the best six defenders. Not always possible, though.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we kind of had to take a little quick pause there. The mid-season draft's going, and Jordy Payne's just gone to North Melbourne, Paddo. So mid-forward, he'll be, you'd expect, 102K because he's never played AFL before, I'm assuming.
And at number two, Jacob Blight has gone to Richmond, who's an intercept defender who will also be another 102K rookie. So that's a bit exciting. I've actually got the 14 picks here, Dan. Oh, that's 15. Bryn Teagle went to North Melbourne.
Fuck off.
That is a vibe. And he's the first ex-AFL player to be drafted.
So how many picks down is he?
15th.
Wait, oh, I don't even have the other, I don't have the list in front of me. So anyway, interesting, interesting. So we'll move on to the midfield now. And obviously these are just Paddo's tiers, by the way, people. It's his opinion. If you think that the tiers are wrong, it's up to you. Like personally, I think the Dacos Ryan calls bang on. I reckon McGovern should be up in that top tier scoring-wise. I wish I had him. And I've got three of the guys in the next group that Paddo said. So he said to have only one or two of them, and I've got three. So don't stress.
I've got none.
Too much.
I've got the other one that could move up is James Sicily. He's actually had a really good year, and people were scared off by his 50-odd in round zero. But since that game, he's been great. It's just the lockdown role that scares people.
Yeah.
He might be an Ethan Phillips coming in permanently to free him up away from like being a must-have option.
Mm. So in that next group where you said have one or two, I've got Nick Martin, who I started. I've got Hayden Young, who I started, and then Lockie Whitfield in there.
Yeah, worth noting that James Sicily plays Richmond twice in the run home.
Juicy.
And the Giants twice. And North Melbourne in Supercoach Grand Finals.
Like, how you just lumped the Giants in with North Melbourne and Richmond?
Well, the Giants are actually a pretty good matchup for halfbacks. That's why I threw them in there.
Moving on to midfield. So top tier, we've got Srong, Butters, Bont and Merritt. They're all must-haves. I really need Butters and Merritt. Can't figure out how to get them. The next tier, this is interesting. So we've got Neil, Green, Rowell, and Treloar. You fucking put Treloar in there.
I did, even though I hate it, but he's averaging 117, so we have to mention it.
Sorry. I'll keep going. It's not just those four. Then we've got Walsh, Took Miller, Jack Steele, Jordan Dawson, Dunkley, Petrarca, Oliver, and Mills. I feel like Oliver isn't in that next tier right now. I feel like he's the tier below.
See, that's interesting. I think it's from this point on, and I just feel like he averages the same as this lot.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. And then we've got the tier below, which is try to only have one if the price is right or bench loophole option. Now, you've put Chad Warner here.
I have.
Chad Warner, in my opinion, should be in that next tier right now. That man is on a fucking tear.
Yes, it's a tear. That's the point. So
he's breaking out in front of our eyes, going to the next phase of his career, Paddo. He's putting those contract talks on hold, and you know what that does to super coach scoring, Paddo.
I do, but I just think the CBAs aren't as high as they need to be for him. He's had four scores under 100, with one of those being a 73 against Richmond and an 81 against Gold Coast.
But from here on in?
From here on in, yes. Mills has to come back into that team.
I think Mills will just be a mix of Mr. Fix-It again.
I just think it pushes Warner out. I think Warner is a trap.
Nah, he will not get pushed out. Warner and Haney are the two biggest locks in that midfield. Then you got Goulden, who literally is trying to get to 100% time on ground. And he's come close so far. I think he's got to 90-odd something percent. So those three right there, safest houses, as in being in that midfield group.
So Warner is averaging 60% CBAs on the year.
As he pushes forward.
You know, it's CBAs, so that's where he starts. Against the Dogs, he only had 56%.
Yeah, but he again, goes up forward. He can play both middle and up forward, and he's kicking fucking 3 to 4 goals a game.
That's not maintaining.
Anyway, Warner was the first one there. Then you've got Matt Crouch, Paddy Cripps, Libber, Laird, Noah Anderson, LDU, Brayshaw, and Goulden. Andy Brayshaw is actually having a very solid year too.
Yeah, but not spectacular. Averaging 105.
He's had the one bad game, hasn't he? Oh, his worst game was against West Coast, 83, and then his second worst game was last round, Collingwood, 84. But he's only had the three sub-100s, with one of them being...
Isn't quite having those spike games that he has had previously.
Kind of just like either in the 100s or in the 120s.
Yeah.
Yeah, see what you mean. See what you mean. All right, we'll move on. Now, for the ruck line, Paddo has just gone in multiple exclamation marks. Check fixtures. So, Sydney do have a great ruck run coming. If you started Grundy, I reckon that you're backing in Grundy for pretty much the whole year. He'll be a luxury trade. Agreed, Paddo?
Yeah, I myself have toyed with trading Grundy out for Gawn this week. But I just feel like the run home is too good for Grundy.
Oh, no. That's the only exception is bringing in Gawn.
Gawn's I'm just not sure I can do it. I don't... Yeah, I don't know.
How fucked is it that last week there's all the tweets going, Gawn having calf concerns, blah, 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 might be a laid out, and then he fucking pulls out a 180.
Yeah, I was rubbing my hands together when I heard that news as a non-owner.
Neck minute.
Yeah.
I had my worst week with captains last week and I was like, do I go Gawn? Nah. And then I was like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. If he's a laid out, I'm all good. I get Tekel's score and it'll fuck so many people up that put Tekel R2. And then I was like, oh, shit, Tekel. 180. Oh, not Tekel, fucking. Well, maybe I'm a fucking Nostradamus there, Paddo. Maybe Bryn Tekel's going to be the next big thing, even though he's not at Port anymore. he said North. Oh, anyway, you know who I meant. Sweet. It was sweet. Both as relevant as one another now. Yeah, and then he pumped out the 180. But Paddo is wanting to talk about Darcy Cameron.
Yes.
Paddo, why do you want to talk about Darcy Cameron?
So Mason Cox went down on the weekend, and Darcy Cameron scored 128 in his absence. We've seen Darcy Cameron score really, really well, getting the majority of ruck time, whether that's with Mason Cox in the team or without him, when he gets that majority ruck role. It all depends on who Collingwood bring in. If they bring in a ruckman, and I've got a young ruckman whose name escapes my mind right now.
Aiden Begg.
Yes. So if they bring him in, it's probably not great. But if they just make do with what they've got and what they sort of ran with on the weekend, which was using Frampton a bit in the ruck and whatnot, then I think Cameron's actually a really good short-term play. And his scoring actually hasn't been horrible on the year, as long as you ignore that Brisbane game in round three where he somehow scored 18 in 80 minutes.
Yeah. Move on to forwards anyway. Paddo did say English is cruising and Marshall feels slightly unreliable and inconsistent, kind of like the Saints. Anyway, we'll go to the forward line now. So the top tier must-haves, pretty self-explanatory. I would have only just left this at two, Paddo, and that's Heaney and Flanders, but you've said Heaney, Flanders, and Zorko.
Yeah, I think Zorko's in that group.
Yeah. Then next tier, we have Rankin after his injury and Fisher.
Which is disgusting to say.
As an owner of him again, after trading him back in, I'm okay with it. And then it's not even the bottom tier, it's the poop tier, according to Paddo. Yep. So the really ew options or players worth if the price and fixture looks good, and we got Shea Bolton, Jakey Waterman. Jakey Waterman has had one fucking shit game in his in that run that he's had, and that was last week with his 30-odd.
He's the sixth highest averaging forward, Dano.
Yeah, because man can grab a clunk and kick a bag.
Something about West Coast and bags in there, but anyway.
Anyway, Lukey Jackson, Harry Mackay, Charlie Curnow, Jesse Hogan, Harley Reid's in there, Jezza Cameron. Now, this is an interesting one, Paddo, because if we hadn't done the podcast last week, this was a guy I was throwing up, and that's Travis Boak, because he was safe as houses to get forward status, and he had 290s in a row. And I was going to be like, look, we're fucking desperate up forward for like an F6. Why not go Travis Boak? He's playing a wing half forward role. And he fucking goes and hits the ton. But I think that has everything to do with Connor Rosie, to be honest, and Boak's performance right now.
Yeah, I mean, Boak's had two bad games all year. He had a 29 against Essendon and a 63 against Richmond.
I think he was the sub one of those.
He did have 46 minutes against Essendon, so that might have been a resting, and then he missed 3 weeks. But, I mean, he's doing better than Jack McRae, who I, like, disgustingly have to consider a keeper.
Yeah, he's not even listed there.
Oh, no, list. I didn't put that fucker in there.
Yeah, we've got Toby Green and Tom Papley, and he fucking missed Jack McRae, but he has been a little bit of a frustrating own. But at the same time, I'm still winning the Fife trade to McRae. Even though it doesn't feel like I'm winning, Paddo, I am winning it.
Yeah, it's I just realized I didn't put Dylan Moore in there, which is
He would be in blasphemous. The next tier.
Yeah, he's probably in that second tier. I know he's been in a bit of a lean patch, but he belonged in that tier. That was an oversight on my end.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Anyway, Paddo, we got question time, and I can't be fucked bringing it up in front of me, so do you want to do the honors?
All right, we'll start with Facebook then. As it loads in, fuck off. I don't want automations, Facebook. Thank you. All right. First question comes from Liam. Thank you for the question, Liam. So he asks our thoughts on Will Day. He can upgrade Nat Fyfe to him, and it seems like he's starting to hit his straps after an injury to start the year. Also a really good price. So we'll start with that. I'm going to bring up Will Day. I have noticed that he's actually been scoring quite well. Will Day's a really talented footy player.
He had his best game last round. I know that much. Oh, no, apparently against Port he did. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So his last three have been 89, 142, and 117. I don't think it's enough as a just midfielder, and he's 526,000. So I would be looking elsewhere. I think there's some legit primo options that can be had for even cheaper than that, including Clayton Oliver, and then you've got your Tom Green, Matt Rowell types who are discounted at the moment due to some tags and form and whatnot. So I'll be looking that way instead.
You know, personally, it's strange, Paddo? What? He's never played Adelaide before, and he's got them this week.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've got no history of even his current opponent.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would say no to Will Day myself at the moment. Yeah, I just think maybe he's a bench option. but realistically, you need to be complete.
No, not Will Day. I think you can get better options for cheaper.
Yeah.
Even Jordan Ridley for 8K more, I think that's better. Anyway, so the second half of Liam's question. So you see, I've got Heaney, Zorko, Moore, and Flanders with Wilson and Frazier F5 to 6. Could you see Wilson remaining at F6? He's been consistently scoring 70-plus the last 6 weeks. I just don't think I can trust anyone else, really. That's an interesting one.
I'm just because of buys, I've been holding Wilson. I know a lot of people traded him out last round. But, yeah, he's that. I'm looking to hold him through rounds 12, 13, and 14. I don't see him as a keeper, but to be honest, his scoring output's the fucking same as all of the other options. So,
well, it's better than last McRae. One,
well, yeah, literally, he's scoring better than McRae. So, if you can hold him as long as you can, yeah, go for it. I feel like that you need to try and find those bargains where they pop up, like Zachy Fisher, prime example, bargain, moved heaven and earth to get him. If there's another one that pops up, you just got to be prepared to snap your finger and go for it. And Wilson is actually at a really good price. He'll probably teeter around that 410 to what, 440, you reckon?
Yeah, Paddy? So he might go down a little bit. I think he's a really good cover for the next 3 weeks. He's got the round 15 buy. I think he's your last upgrade.
So here we go. So
and he's
projected to go to 441K by his buy.
I almost think if you want to have a bit of fun with it, you can try and pick off which like goal scoring forward you think has the best run home. So try and target someone that might have Richmond twice.
Jack Waterman.
Waterman doesn't have Richmond twice. You don't make money off that. So just trying to pick the next guy that has that really good run and just ride a key forward or something in that time. But Wilson's been great for us. He'll go down in the history books as a great rookie this year.
Yep, agreed. I'd say hold him as long as you can until someone pops up. That's my verdict.
Yep.
All right, Paddy, you're the question man.
Right.
New role.
Our next. Get the sick guy to read the questions. Good one.
Fuck yeah.
So next question comes from Jason. Time for Meek to go or with Sweet training with the B team, is he to go if not named, English or Marshall?
I think you're going to trade them both. Downgrade Sweet, upgrade Meek.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Get a primo in.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. English or Marshall, don't know. I would say Grundy, but that's next week.
Marshall's too inconsistent. He'll win your head-to-heads, but he'll also fucking lose them for you.
Yep. I think English is probably the go.
Let me have a quick skiz of English, because I thought he was going pretty good this year.
He is. But people are saying he's having a shit year. He's only had one bad score.
He's had 3 sub-100 scores. Okay.
Yeah, but it's just that he's not doing his one... Is just not doing his 140 pluses like he was last year.
Yeah, but that's because of Darcy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his scoring's fine. Better than Marshall, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. English can drop a bit more, can't he?
Could.
Break even once.
But if you're waiting another week, why don't you just go Grundy next week?
Yeah. Well, yeah. See how it plays out. I reckon. Trade Sweet out, and then fucking Meek. Who does he play? Who does Meek play? Adelaide. Oh, but Meek's injured. Fuck. Okay. Yeah. Just remembered.
Meek's got to go.
Yeah. Both have to go. Both have to go. If you've got a spare 30K, oh, sorry, is it 30 or 40K? Go Meek to English. I think it's 40K. I think it's like 565.
What about Darcy Cameron, Dana? Darcy Cameron.
Go English. English.
All right, so the second half of that question. Jason's wondering whether he should go after Houston because of the good buy or go for Merritt or Neil. Neil's got the buy this week, so don't bring him in. It all depends on the rest of the team and what buy you are best.
Hmm.
I probably wouldn't go in Merritt now. I'd probably wait until after his bye. I think all three are fine options. Houston has a bye next week, so I wouldn't bring him in this week unless you're really good next week. And you can wait for next week for Neil.
I think the reason why he's considering Houston as well is because Houston really fucking loves Carlton.
Yeah, but Houston has a bye next week. He plays once in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, fair. But if it supports your buy structure, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our last Facebook question comes from Dalla Scott.
Dalla.
He's wondering, I think it's a he. Anyway, sorry if I've misgendered you there. Wondering if they should triple downgrade this week and possibly sidewaysing Rogers, Clark, and Darcy to Fraser, Sullivan, and McAuliffe as a cash grab and have them all out by the last buy. I don't hate this, Dano. If you got a good amount of primos this week and it fixes up your bench so that you can have some pretty solid coverage through the buys, as well as obviously making money ready to pick off primos as they come off their buy. I don't hate a triple downgrade this week if your bench is full of dead rookies like Rodgers.
Yeah, don't mind it.
Although, is Jai Clark a good trade out this week? Just quickly, Dano, who the fuck names their kid Jai Clark and puts an H in there?
Yeah. it's a really fucking weird way of spelling it.
There's a few different ways that you can spell Jai, and none of them have an H in it. But anyway.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I don't mind a triple downgrade if you're looking for that cash, Jen, honestly. Yeah. I'll do the Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter one. So
I was about to put in x.com, Dano, but I was a bit nervous to do that. Because I don't actually know what would come up. But Twitter.com still works.
So the first one we got from Scobie, Nathan Scoble, avid listener of our potty, but also got his own at the Supercoach Hub. He said, on a scale of 1 to Ben Cousins, how Amy Winehouse did Dano get at Macklemore? Look, I was in the nosebleeds. I went off. I went off.
That's all we'll say while the record button is playing.
I probably would have had to attend an AA meeting afterwards.
But would have survived
alcohol consumed.
A bath, let's just say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone, not Benny Cousins, more like Brendan Favola at the Brownlow.
Pressure point.
Yeah, that drunk. No Benny Cousins or Amy Winehouse. Yeah. Nerds for Life Supercoach has asked, will you guys be picking up any of the mid-season draft picks? I'm tempted if the Tigers or Pies take any as they have an insane injury list. We will wait and not jump the gun. I don't want another Buller situation.
So, yeah, Collingwood actually picked two guys in the draft. They picked up Ned Long, who is an ex-AFL player.
Yeah, right.
Out of their VFL program. And they picked up Eliro Schmidt, who I've never heard of.
Neither.
Out of the Eastern Rangers.
Yeah, neither. Yeah. the next one. We'll say that one. No, we're going to wait and see.
I really like Jacob Blight. I think he'll play, but I wouldn't be jumping on him before a game. I learned my lesson last year.
And then the last one is Josh. He said, I'm thinking Darcy to Boak as a forward keeper plus a good buy. Now, he's posted his team, Paddo. So if you have a look, he's got Jordan Sweet. And I don't think he posted this knowing the out, but he's got in his... he does have Heaney. So he has Heaney, Flanders, Powell, Wilson, Darcy, Richards, Livingston, Frazier.
So with this team, I would probably downgrade Sweet to a rookie or whatever rookie tickles anything.
Ah, fucking Sweet swing Livingston into the ruck.
Yeah, so Sweet down to a rookie by swinging Livingston into the rucks.
Yeah.
And then...
Fuck off Darcy.
Darcy has to go. I'd almost consider a double downgrade, and then you can pick up...
Well, he's got three trades, remember.
You can pick up Fisher next week, and then maybe you can go to a Primo.
Boak isn't much, by the way.
Yeah, I don't love it, though.
Oh, fucking... It's one of those ones where it happens at the right time and they have a role change and whatnot and fucking...
It's not a role change, though. He's still playing on a wing, which is disgusting.
And high half forward.
Yeah, so like Dylan Moore.
That's the change that's happened. He's changed to playing a forward role.
It's just the Dylan Moore role. I don't like it. And he's old as fuck.
But Dane Zorko's also old as fuck.
Correct. But Dane Zorko's role is... 20 times better.
Travis Boak is 431K.
He's also 431 years old.
That's probably one of your better ones. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay. I personally, like, it's fucking pus up forward. I don't think you're going to get too many 100 scores. I think that's probably his first for the year, is it? Yeah. So that's his first for the year. It was against North. If only fucking the horny one, Jason Horn Francis, got forward status. At least he's starting to play good now. Again. Anyway. That's enough for question time, Paddo.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Every week, we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. You've heard that one a lot. Anyway, actually, Paddo, you know how many times I've heard that now?
How many?
99 times, because this is episode 99.
Ooh, very good.
Episode 100 next week, big boy. It's a huge one. Anyway, Thursday, we have Port Adelaide versus Carlton. VC territory here, Paddo. Who you got? It's also Adelaide Oval, obviously.
Yeah, I don't actually know if I like anyone in this game, if I'm completely honest.
Well, Dan Houston loves Carlton.
He's probably the only one I could maybe consider it, but I think there's a better option the next night as a VC.
I don't know too much about Zach Butters' history.
No, he'll get tagged. Carlton have been tagging
in the past.
84 last year.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's kind of up and down with him. But, yeah, Dan Houston, the big 176 last year, he fucking froths it. So,
yeah, Houston's probably the only one.
What about Sam Walsh?
No, because Port Adelaide will tag someone.
Let's have a squeeze at the Sam Walsh. Yeah, he's up and down as well. Last year, he got 87, but then the year before, 128, then the game before that, 144. Yeah. Now, moving on. Friday, Collingwood versus Western Bulldogs, Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, I think it's hard to get a VC in this game.
Those ones where it's last week for me, it was Sarong versus Bont, and I went Sarong. It was Heaney versus Bont, and I went Heaney. Yeah, and it turned out bad. Yes. And I don't want to fuck it up this week, so I feel like just go with the Bont.
So I actually think Dacos is the option here. He would be my VC.
Yeah.
I think Bont isn't a horrible option. I think English is an okay option.
Adam Treloar.
I was mentioning it.
Yeah.
Tim English had 130 against Collingwood last year.
Adzi. Bailey Dale?
Not, you wouldn't VC him.
Well, I wouldn't see him, but I'd VC him.
Maybe, but there's way better options in this game.
Yeah. In this game or next game?
This game.
Okay.
Dacos had 139 against Dogs last year.
Yeah, okay. Anyone else?
Nah.
Moving on, Saturday. So we start off at 1:45 p.m. at the MCG, Hawthorn versus Adelaide. This one's fucking interesting because Hawthorn have been playing really good lately.
They have. I'm not sure you can trust anyone with a VC or C in this game.
If Liam trades him in, will they?
No.
Nah.
Nah. Nah. Both teams restrict too much in terms of tagging and stuff, so maybe Sicily is the only one, but I don't love his ceiling unless Phillips comes in.
Jordan Dawson has, like, his ceiling is...
But look at his history against Hawthorn.
Ishizer?
Terrible.
Ishizer. All right. Oh, moving on then.
The average is 74 against Hawthorn, and his highest is 104.
Yeah, right. Now, move on. Yay, nay, yay, nay.
Yeah.
Yep. West Coast, 16th versus St Kilda, 15th at Optus Stadium in Perth. If it's Optus Stadium, Harley Reid will go big.
Not last week.
No, he wasn't at Optus Stadium last week, was he?
Oh, true. Jeremy McGovern is a good VC option in this game.
Oh, fuck yeah. 180 McGovern. Here we go.
Those Tom Barras.
Ew. Ew.
Marshall isn't a bad VC. I wouldn't see him. West Coast actually tagged Max Gawn when they played against him, and I could see them maybe doing the same if they bother. But apparently, this game is meant to bucket down rain. So just take that what you will.
And Matty Flynn is apparently potentially an in this week, Paddo.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, he played in the waffle last week. So whether they give him another week or whatever, or just go, nah, you're playing against St Kilda, be interesting.
And he,
for a man of his size, he likes to get around the ground. I think when he was at the Giants and he was playing with Bruce, he was actually the number two ruck in the competition for hitouts around the ground. I think Jared Witts was number one at the time, and then they went with the sole ruck. After. So, yeah, just just remember, Flynn can get around. Bit of a whore. A Marty whore. We'll get out of that game now, Paddo, because we don't really like too many in that.
No. Hopefully Jack Steele has a nice game, but I wouldn't VC him.
Yeah. Geelong versus Richmond. Here we go. 7:30 p.m. GMHBA Stadium.
Max Holmes.
I was legit just about to say Max Holmes. He is improving out of sight at the moment, and it won't surprise me if he goes 130+.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a Stewart as well, but he hasn't shown enough this year.
I like my homie G.
Yeah. Other than that, no one.
Yeah.
This game's pretty ill.
Yeah, how's Jaden Short been going since he's been playing? I just want to check this.
Hey, he's fucking cheap.
I know he is, but has he actually returned?
No.
Or is he still poop?
Poop is
shit.
Yeah,
he's still poop. He's still poop. Oh, fuck. Moving on. Sundays. So these are your C options. So technically you could still VC these guys in this next game.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. So Sunday, Melbourne versus Frio. Way to go. Now, they're playing in Alice Springs, Paddo.
They are.
So not really a home ground advantage here.
No.
I just want to double check something because I'm pretty sure did Melbourne? Oh yeah, Sir Doug Nicholls round was last round, wasn't it?
Last two rounds, yeah.
Yeah, because they weren't having a good time as NAM, but then I just noticed they did beat St Kilda. So anyway, I'm not entirely like. We'll just say Max Gawn.
Gawn doesn't actually have that good of a record against Sean Darcy.
Sean Darcy doesn't have a good record against his own calf though. He can break down in the first quarter and then Gawn goes bananas.
Yeah, actually, I think this is a little bit awkward because the humidity up north might mean that Luke Ryan might struggle with his intercept game.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon they'll chip it back to him more to like conserve ground, energy. Though. You know what I mean?
It's a smaller ground though.
Yeah, but rather than kicking it up long and forcing contests, I feel like that, like to have a breather, they'll just chip it around their back line a little bit.
Well, Frio are the ones more acclimatised to the heat and humidity than Melbourne.
Mm.
Clayton Oliver averages 121 at Traeger Park.
In fact, you know one that we haven't discussed that we probably should have? Christian Salem last 2 weeks.
No.
Nah?
No.
99 and 121.
Look who we played. Relax.
Okay. Just thought I'd go there.
I mean, West Coast and St Kilda.
Got a negative break even.
Yeah, just no.
Anyway, Caleb Sarong in this one, Paddo, then?
Maybe, but that doesn't fill me with lots of confidence. He doesn't have a great record against Melbourne.
Mm.
Averages 90 against
him. If you've got Luke Ryan, you might as well just fucking... You can VC and then still see in the next game.
Yeah, but is there an obvious option to see in the next game?
Well, we'll talk about that one then. Gold Coast versus Essendon at the 4 p.m. At People First Stadium on the Gold Coast.
See, if Flanders plays halfback, he probably gets Guelphied.
Guelphied. I'm sorry, that's so good.
Jordan Ridley I actually like in this game.
As a captain.
It's risky.
Jesus.
I think Matt Rowe could bounce back.
Yeah.
I think Merritt's a really good option.
Yeah, look, I think Merritt's going to be the one. I'm just going to quickly look him up now. If you've got him, 114, 136, 107 are his last three against the Suns.
Yeah.
It's hard. Would you Luke Ryan VC into like a Merritt? To be honest, I reckon you're better off just going the VC early in that Collingwood Western Bulldogs game.
So I just want to say you can't have any confidence in doing that with the rumor of the illness going through Essendon.
Yeah, that's true too.
So then you're risking being put in a situation where you might have to put the C on a Tuk Miller and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
Or Alex Sexton, which is pretty gross. So I would be avoiding the C on an Essendon player personally.
Yeah.
I think you get your VC done on a Friday or Thursday, and then you just target your best matchup from there, whether that's Jeremy McGovern, whether that's Luke Ryan, Max Gawn, someone like that. It's a kind of tricky week for captains, but I think there's too many good options in that Friday night game. So that's the game that I'll be targeting for a VC and hope Dacos gets 130 again.
See, I'm probably going to do my VC the Thursday.
And Dacos can be a backup option.
Bont. I'm going to go Bont. In Bont, we trust.
123 last year against them, so.
Yeah, I just think I didn't trust him last round and it cost me, so I'm going to trust him this round. Hopefully it doesn't cost me as I eat my microphone just then by trying to get up.
It is dinner time, so let's wrap up.
Yeah. Paddo, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. You can also find us on Facebook if you don't already. I keep forgetting to plug our Facebook page, Paddo. So it's the Supercoach Co-Captains on Facebook. Can't fucking miss it. It's the freaking same logo that we use for everything. It's got the fucking cover photos of a team that we had like freaking years ago. I think it was actually the first year that we recorded our body.
It was your team.
Yeah, that's true. It's fucking lit round too. Matt Flynn rookie. So, yeah, give us a like on there. With the Podmasters shit, I think we're actually going okay in that, Paddo.
My team's shit.
Oh, I'm the seed, the main seed in the league. We had to nominate one of us and self-nominated. let's have a look at this. So, I'm sitting third. There you go. So, and I'm playing against Al Patton. Is it Patton or Peyton?
Peyton.
Yeah, I'm playing against him this week. Yeah. So, really want to get that win, get some separation. I'm 4 points ahead of him. I want to get about 8 points ahead of him. So, yeah, it's an interesting mix at the moment up there. But, yeah, sitting comfortably in third, but I can easily go top because we're all on the same amount of points. Yeah. How is our group tracking, Paddo?
Yeah, good.
So I'll quickly just shout out who's on top. Easily Tate with his overall rank. He slipped now to 301, Paddo. He didn't have the greatest round last round with his 2,273, so he slipped. Then we got Josh and his rough pies. He's almost cracked the top 1,000. Then Vinny with his team Plunkball almost cracked the top 1,000. Raging Bonner in fourth. He's at 2,640. Then myself with I Done Got A Boner, fifth in the group with 3,383 being my overall rank because I had a fucking shit round last round. So, yeah, hopefully we can get some more in the top 1K, like five of them in the top 1K. It'd be nice, Paddo.
Yeah.
If not four. Be cool to get a winner. An overall winner with a 50K. Be nice. Anyway, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is our signing.
The fuck off.
Take a Strepsil.